Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your presence. We thank you, Father, that we sense your presence. We thank you that our lives will never, ever be the same. And we believe you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. I want to tell you how sometimes, you know, we talked about our foundational scripture was Isaiah 55, and we'll get there. But I want to give you an example of how we rehearse things and we don't even know it sometimes. This is a story about in high school doing basketball. Okay? My story's about basketball, right? Alex. So I'm in the 10th grade, and I'm to Bethel High School in Hampton, the home of the Bruins, the other Bruins, the first Bruins. Yeah. And so we're playing our rivals and Hampton High School, and I'm playing point guard, and this guy I'm playing against on the opposite team, we've known each other for a while, and he's a really good player. But he gets a little careless with the ball sometimes, and I knew it, and I could steal it from him. So I stole the ball from him, and I'm going down court on a breakaway layup by myself. And the crowd's getting louder, and I'm dribbling as fast as I can. But this guy is really quick, and he catches me about the time I get down in the paint, in the foul line area, and I have maybe one or two dribbles to lay the ball up. And I know that he's going to catch up and try to swipe the ball in front of me like this. So I take the ball. I have paper towels here. I had to wet them so they can do what I need them to do. So I know he's going to swipe the ball, so I got the ball, and I'm going to lay it up. And as he comes by to swipe it, I take it to the side. Let's back up. So for 2 weeks, one of my teammates, his name is Andre Wallace. We call him Red. Light-skinned guy, about my tall, black guy, with flaming red hair. Right? So during practice, when we're not on the floor practicing with the coach, or if we come to practice early or after practice, he and I are practicing trick shots. And you know how guys always say, watch this. Sometimes it's their last words. You know how guys are. Watch this. Gene's no longer with us. So, but during our trick shots, his trick shot was he takes the basketball and he's standing back and he bounces as hard as he can and make it go up 10 feet and try to go in the basket, which I've figured, you know, that's never going to happen in a game. You know, but my trick shot was I took the ball and I stood about 5 feet from the basket and I flip it behind my back like this and try to make it, you know, I get back further, 15 feet. So 2 weeks later in a game, we're playing and I stole the ball and I'm going down court and the kid comes up next to me and sure enough, he swipes at the ball and I know he's going to do it. So I move it to the side and I'm going to lay it up after he passes by. When he swipes, he knocks me off balance a little bit, and the ball goes behind me, and sure enough, my trick shot, I flip the ball over my head like that, ball hits in the square, nothing but nets. He knocks me on the floor, in the mat and everything, and the crowd is going, and I jump up to, yeah, baby! And the referee calls a foul. He says, basket good, foul on number 11, shooting one shot. Time out. I look around, and it's my coach. And we go to the bench, and I'm all excited. The crowd is in a buzz, you know. And they get to the bench, and the coach says, what in the blank you think you're doing? Did you see that shot, coach? I saw that shot. You think this is the circus? I made that shot, coach. You shoot another shot like that, you're going to be sitting beside me on the bench. Coach, have you ever shot a shot like that? No. You're just jealous. He says, jealous or not, you shoot another shot like that, you're going to be sitting beside me on the bench. I walked away. I went, he's just jealous. So I went on and made my free throw. But I practiced that shot not thinking that I was going to shoot it in the game. When he knocked me off balance, what I had been practicing came out. What you practice will come out. What you practice thinking unknowingly, it will show up. That's what we talked about last week. Intentionally or unintentionally. And if you practice the right thing, you can say, yeah, baby! Because you'll win. My wife says, you're yelling too loud. I said, I'm keeping you awake, honey. In that league, you had to have a little swagger and a little moxie, because you'll get swamped if you don't. As a Christian, sometimes you're going to have a little moxie and a little swag, or else you'll lose. You could come in and confess the word and be happy about the word and confess it for 20 years and see no results. If in your thinking, you still have a low self-esteem. You could drop your money in the bucket for 20 years and your finances don't change because you don't see it any different. But you confess and confess and confess, and it just becomes law. And we correct each other. Oh, you said, I don't have enough money. Or, that just kills me. Those kind of things. We do it. Come on. And we correct each other. But today is a new day. We'll never be the same. Isaiah, the 55th chapter. Remember that scripture? And the first few verses says, one of the versions says, ho, come on, everybody. Let me have your attention. Listen up. I want to tell you something. You can receive without money. You can buy food and drink without money. What kind of food and drink is he talking about? Spiritual food and drink. And he goes on down and says, tells us that spiritual food and drink will produce the sure mercies of God, the sure mercies of David. What are the sure mercies of David? You don't deserve it, but he heaps it on you anyway. And, you know, it not only says that, it says, and people will see it and know that something's different about you. It said that the nations will come to you. Can you imagine? You have to keep just, you know, blowing out walls. Oh, let's say it this way. You know, in Isaiah where it says, lengthen the cords of your tent. When you start to do what he says, that what he's talking about in Isaiah 55, then you have to lengthen the cords of your tent. You have to make room. Then it goes on and says, you know what? Your thoughts are not my thoughts. And my thoughts are not your thoughts. The things that I do, you don't do them the way I do them. Unless you think the way I think. Your thinking is what makes the difference. Psalms 1, verse 1 and 2 says this. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sit in the way of sinners, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of the scornful? Paraphrase. He says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in this law, he thinks about it. Meditation is thinking about it and muttering. Thinking about it and muttering. Hebrews. So some of the scriptures, I'm kind of doing a review. Last week we had Hebrews, the fourth chapter, right? Third chapter and the fourth chapter. We saw that God had delivered the Hebrews from out of Egypt. And in the third chapter and the fourth, end of the third chapter and the fourth chapter, it says that he brought all of those people out, but he was displeased with them because they didn't mix faith with the word of God. He said, they were all baptized in the one spirit. They're all under the water, went in the water. God was with them. The blessings of God was with them. But he rejected them because they didn't mix faith with his promises. And that could still happen today. So we went on and I had you turn to Hebrews, the 11th chapter. And this is, you know, it's 11 verse 1 through 6. And it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. The substance. So faith is a substance. Not only is faith a substance, it's evidence of something. It said that the substance of things hoped for, the substance of things imagined. Your imagination is the factory for your faith. Your imagination is the garden for your possibilities. You see, when I kept practicing my trick shot, it was my imagination that produced the desired effect. Now, I didn't know it was going to do that in the game, but boy, it made me look like I was something. Coach didn't like it. He was jealous. Your imagination. So you had over 1 million of them that got strewn in the desert. They died. They never went into the promised land. That was everybody above 20. You know why? Because older people don't imagine anything. They are satisfied. Kids have a vivid imagination. They daydream all the time. They have hopes and dreams. Right? So only they went in along with Caleb and Joshua. The almost 20% of the spies that came back with the good report, who's let God's word live in them, that said, oh, we're well able. The other one said, oh, no, we can't do it. Oh, no, you can't be healed. Oh, no, you'll never make enough money. You'll always be like this. My mama was like this. My daddy was like this. And you're going to be like this. My mother was in an insane asylum, in and out, and I'm going to be in an insane asylum. My father died at 45. I'm going to die at 45. You get the picture? That's what we do as human beings. You know why? Because it's the tree of good and evil. We tend to lean toward the tree of, you know, on that tree, the evil side, because it's easier. Okay, so check this out. The second half of that first verse says, it's the evidence of something, what? Unseen. It's the evidence of something in you that people can't see. They can see the manifestation of it, but they can't see what produced it. So in Mark, the 4th chapter, he goes on and he says, the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. Now, I didn't have time to cut up my apple today and bring my apple seed, but the apple seed is about that small. But a mustard seed is maybe 10 times smaller than that. In other words, he's saying it's so small that nobody hardly even notices. You know what? The word of God is a seed. And it's invisible, almost unnoticeable. But as soon as you plant that seed, it starts to take root. If you hold on to it, it will produce. That's why the devil comes along immediately and tries to take the picture away from you, or take the idea or the thought away from you. So for years, especially during the Word of Faith movement, we've heard Mark 11:22, right? We can quote it. Mark 11:22, 19 through 24. They're going along and Jesus is hungry and they come across a fig tree and the fig tree has leaves and he goes up and it has no figs. And he says, nobody will ever eat from you again. And they go into Jerusalem and they come back out and they come back in the next day and the tree is withered, right? And Peter says, hey, Lord, the tree that you curse is withered. And he says, have faith in God. Whatsoever you ask in prayer, believe that you receive and you will have it. So we confess and we confess and we confess and we confess. But verse 22 translates like this. Have the God kind of faith. You know what the God kind of faith is? It's called the abracadabra. Ever heard that term? Anybody ever heard the term abracadabra? Abracadabra is what magicians use. You know, they have on their suits and they're there and they're doing illusionary tricks, and they got on a suit and you can't tell, and they pull a rabbit out from somewhere, or they pull a bird out from somewhere, right? Yeah. Abracadabra, watch me create or pull a rabbit out from nothing. Watch me. So, and that, you know what? That word is in every language in the world. That thought is in every, watch me make something out of nothing. That's what the world calls it, abracadabra. But that's not what Hebrews, the 11 verse 1 says. It says that everything, in verse 2, it says by faith we understand in verse 2 that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that what we see was made by something that's not seen. But the Hebrew translation of abracadabra is this. It's actually a Hebrew word. It comes from Hebrew. And abra means I shall create. Cadabra means with my words. So let's see God do the abracadabra. So if you turn to Genesis, the first chapter, the first verse. Right? Okay. Hebrew says, Bereshit bara Elohim et hashamayim ve'et ereth. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Then it goes on in verse 3. And verse 2 says, and the earth was without form or void, and the Spirit of the Lord hovered there. So the Holy Spirit was there. And God said in verse 3, let there be light. God said in verse 6, let there be such and such a thing. God said in verse 9, let there be. He continued to say, God, let there be. And then he would say, yeah, that's good. That's real good. Verse 26, let us create man in our own image. What was God doing?
Speaking.
What was he speaking to?
The unseen.
He was, what did you say, Pat?
What he saw was himself.
He was speaking to the picture he had in himself of what he wanted to create. And that's what we don't do. We're just confessing, or are you speaking to an image that you have created within yourself? That's the key. Now we can fold our stuff up and go home. Oh, no. So let's look at the second chapter, verse 19. You know what the second chapter, verse 19 says? What does it say?
Out of the ground and brought down forth every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam.
To do what?
To see what he would call them.
He got Adam involved in it. He said, since you're going to be in charge, I've said in verse 26 and 27 that you're going to have dominion over everything. Well, what we're going to do is we're going to let you start calling the images. So he brought every animal and beast to him, and he says, Adam, what do you want to call it? Let his name be giraffe. Adam, what do you want to call this? Let that be called fish. He opened the door so that you can name it. Man, that's powerful. How about chapter 3, verse 17 through 19? Now, so God has established Adam and Eve on the earth, and he's put them in charge of the garden, and he shows them how it operates. He says, you speak to it and take care of it. You have authority. You have dominion. You make things happen by speaking to what's in your heart. So Adam and Eve, and then he says, okay, the only stipulation I have is that you don't eat from this one tree in the garden. It's the tree of good and evil, knowledge of good and evil. They disobeyed. Eve got into it, brought Adam into it, and they ate of that tree. And the first thing they noticed was that, ooh, we're naked. Something's left us. Let's cover ourselves with leaves. So they cover themselves with fig leaves, right? Then comes verse, you know, God shows up on the scene and he says, what have you done? Then what does he say to him in verse 17 through 19? This is what he says. From this point on, you'll not be able to speak to it and make it work. You're going to have to work at it and till the ground and plant stuff and make it grow and fertilize and pull up weeds. You've lost the ability to speak to the image. Y'all want to see that in the New Testament? Mark, the 4th chapter, the 36th verse through the 41st verse. Jesus is speaking to a big crowd of people, and then he wants to go across the lake with the disciples. And Jesus he's tired, he gets on a cushion in the back of the boat, and he falls asleep, and the disciples are going along with him, right? These are fishermen, half of them. The water starts to swamp the boat. They think they're going to go down. Well, they were going to go down. So they run back to Jesus and said, Master, 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 don't you care if we perish? The boat is sinking and we're going to die. And he jumps up and he tells the wind, the rain, and the waves, stop it. Shut up. Be quiet. Calm down. Sun comes out. The disciples look at each other and say, what kind of man is this? Over the years, what we were supposed to be from Adam, nobody had seen. Jesus comes on the scene and he could speak to stuff again. The centurion says, I know authority when I see it. See, because it doesn't matter how I feel. It doesn't matter how it looks. See, I'm under authority. If the general or the major or the king says something, I do it regardless of how I feel. And it's done. That man right there, he has authority over stuff. All you have to do is speak. And I know if I speak and I tell the lieutenant or the sergeant or anybody under me to do something, they better do it because it's authority. He knew when he saw authority. When you speak and things happen, people will say, that's different. That's not like people we've seen. And that's what God has ordained for you. But if you just confess empty, it doesn't work. I had the same ideas when God was telling me this. Wow, where have we been? Let's look at it in Romans, the 4th chapter, the 18th through the 20th verse. And here is Abraham. Okay, want another example? Here's Abraham. And God has told Abraham and Sarah, you're going to have a child. And your offspring will be like the what? Stars in the sky, as many as the stars in the sky, or the sand on the shore or in the desert. That's how many. So when they first told him, obviously it didn't work at first. And so Sarah comes to Abraham and says, you know, God says this, but it's not happening. Why don't you take Hagar? And I'm quite sure Abraham said, nah, we don't want to do that. You know, that we don't want to do that. Well, honey, if you think so, I think we ought to go ahead and do that. Boys, it's caused us problems since. Then after a while, 10 years went by or so before it happened. Somewhere along the line, they realized, every time I go out and see the stars, I'm going to say what God says. Every time I see the sand that I'm walking on, I'm going to say what God says. You have that verse, passage of scripture, Pastor? 18 through 19. Romans? Romans 4, 18 through 19. Is it up there?
Yep.
Okay.
For Abraham, human reasoning for hope being gone, hoped in faith that he should become the father of many nations, as he had been promised. So numberless shall your descendants be.
Mm-hmm. He hoped to get, listen, you may see that you're sick. You may see that you might not have enough money. You may see that your children are wild. You may see that you have diabetes. You may see that whatever it might be in the natural. But God says, by his stripes you're healed. But God says, I'm the Lord God that healeth thee. But God says, so you have to start seeing it, hearing it, tasting it, feeling it, smelling it. Because your brain, which we talked about last week, has the ability to make all of that up and change make-believe into reality. Your will decides which way you want to go. So, let's look at Psalms 8, okay? Let's just confirm some of the stuff that we talked about, and then we'll go from there. Psalms 8, and you to read that, Pastor, when you get there.
Start at verse 1?
Yes, you can. And how many verses is it? Six verses? Five,
nine.
Six? Okay, we'll get you to read those, that whole thing.
O Lord, our Lord, how excellent, majestic, and glorious is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory on or above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babes and unweaned infants, you have established strength because of your foes, that you might silence the enemy and the avenger. When I view and consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have ordained and established, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of earthborn man that you care for him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels. Thou hast made him a little lower than God or heavenly beings, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. You made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet. All sheep and oxen, yes, and the beasts of the field, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea, and whatever passes along the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent, majestic, and glorious is your name in all the earth.
Praise God. You remember when Jesus was coming in a triumphal entry and all of the people were saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, and the kids were saying that too. And the Pharisees said, do you hear what they're saying? Stop them from saying that. And he went to this verse. You have ordained strength. I think in the Amplified Version it says this on that, in Romans the 4:20 about Abraham. It says he grew strong in faith as he gave praise and glory, as he started to sing and speak to the image that God has spoken over him. He gave praise and glory. This is a song. They're singing. And they're saying, how majestic is your name in all the earth. And it goes on down and it says this. What is man that you should pay attention to him or give him reverence? You made him a little lower than the angels. Well, the writer there, whoever wrote this, put a little bit of their religion in it. Because that word that they used for angels was Elohim. which is not angels. It's God. So that scripture verse actually reads, you made them a little lower than God. Because over in 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, it says, you shall judge the angels, and the angels are your ministers, your servants. So the writer there copped out a little bit. It says, you made them a little lower than Elohim, God. And they shall have dominion and rule over the earth and dominion over everything on the earth. And it says this, for you have crowned them with glory. Remember back over in Genesis, Adam and Eve, when they ate of the apple, something that they lost that caused them not to be able to speak anymore like they could before, to work hard? Well, you know, when I used to read this verse, I used to think of a crown like a crown that a king wears. But this is not that kind of crown. This is the crown that when he laid him on the ground and formed him into a man, he blew into his nostrils his glory. And when he stood up, that glory was like this, all the way down, head to toe. And it's the same thing that you see when you see Jesus, who's a fire from his waist up and the waist down, and his feet are like bronze, and he's full of glory. He said, that's the same thing that you crown man with. He has that crown, and he can speak to animals and speak to nature and has dominion over it. Interesting. And when the disciples saw it over there, they said, it's got something on. What kind of man is that one? Who are we with? So we're going to go to Acts, the first chapter. And this is a familiar scripture, verse 8. Everybody knows this scripture, right? Yep, you can read that one.
But you shall receive power, ability, efficiency, and might when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends, the very bounds of the earth.
And then go to second chapter, first five verses or so.
And when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all assembled together in one place. When suddenly there came a sound from heaven like a rushing of a violent tempest blast, and it filled the whole house in which they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues resembling fire, which were separated and distributed, and which settled on each one of them. And they were all filled, that is, diffused throughout their souls with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak in other, different, foreign languages or tongues, as the Spirit kept giving them clear and loud expression in each tongue in appropriate words.
Do y'all realize what's going on there? He said, don't go anywhere until, he told them to gather in a certain place and stay there. 40 days, 40 nights, 50, Pentecost, the day of Pentecost, right? He says, until you are endued with power, until you are crowned with something that you're missing. And then on the day of Pentecost, it came. And it said, it looked like what? Clothing tongues of fire. What did they lose in Genesis? Clothing tongues of fire. And it set upon each of them. And it diffused their whole body. So that you have the glory back. So that you have the glory back. To speak to every issue in your heart. Isaiah 55 says this. Basically, it says, if you think like I think, you will make an avenue for me to do the sure mercies of God for you. I appreciate Bob today because those songs were awesome. They practiced, gave you the opportunity to practice the presence of God. It gave you the opportunity to not only speak to the presence of God, that is where? See, when you say he is here, we're not talking about just this room. He is here. My hallelujah is to you. Not only did you have a chance to speak to it, but you had the opportunity to sing and worship. Restored glory? What kind of people ought you to be? You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who had brought you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That's what kind of people you are. The God of the universe, the God that strewn the stars in the sky, made the sun and the moon, established the waters on the earth, created man, the lily of the valley, the bright morning star, the King of Kings, the great I am, lives in you. Lives in you. Lives in you. If you have a picture, if you have an image that you can speak to, you can win. If you have an image that you can sing to, there's a singer, Etta James. She was a gospel singer, a blues singer, a rock singer, a jazz singer. She sung a song, At Last. At last, my love has come along. My lonely days are over, and life is like a song. At last, my gray skies are blue. My heart is wrapped in clover. The moment I found you, I have a dream that I could speak to. I have a dream I can place my cheek to. You see what she was talking about? You got an image you can speak to? It won't take long. You can feel the presence of God in you. Jesus says, he who believes in me, he who believes in me, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Can you hear rivers? Can you feel the waters? Can you taste the sweetness of his presence? Can you smell the sweetness of his presence? That's what he's talking about. Release your faith. Build your faith. Speak to it. Speak to it. Allow God to give you dreams, to wake you up like he did Miss Judy and said, hey, pray for this school. Hey, we have a program that we're doing here. We have a commission from God. Right? Yes. Operation School Guard. Allow your imagination to see angels ministers to the families, to the kids, to the schools. Allow your mind, allow your heart to see families come in. The family reunions restored. Allow your mind to see angels keeping tragedy from happening at the schools. Shootings. Yes. Suicides. Yes. See revival in our community. See revival in your families. See yourself being healed. What would you do if you were healed? If you were blind, imagine yourself seeing. If you're crippled, imagine yourself running. If you can't hear, Imagine yourself hearing. Can you imagine? Just imagine. Just imagine. Just imagine. Just imagine. Just imagine. When you start to do that, the scriptures open up for you. Because you start to go back and they have life. Abundant life. I'm just taking my time. Like I said last week, you can be here with your eyes wide open looking at me and at the same time be lounging on a deck chair on a catamaran, feeling the breeze, Caribbean breeze, blow between your toes, tasting a glass of iced tea with a slice of lime in it, and still be right here in this place. You may have a file that says, an F-I-L-E that says, you're sick and you're going to be sick the rest of your life. That's not what God says. Do you desire to replace that file? Cleep. You may have a file that says you don't have enough money for the end of the month. But God says, I'll cause men to give unto your bosom. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give unto your bosom. I'll open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that you can't receive. Would you like to replace the old file? Yes. Cleep. That's what we do on our computer. You may have a file that says, you know what? My feet hurt all the time. My knees hurt all the time. I can't do such and such a thing. You know what? Because we don't use our imagination like we should, we let the TV do the heavy lifting. We let social media do the heavy lifting. I think that lends itself to Alzheimer's. Because we don't use our own mind. Wow. I think there's other reasons, but it sure can help if you're using your imagination and letting God give you dreams and you getting lost in the dreams so that they become reality. He has restored the ability to us to speak. To his ideas, so that his thinking becomes our thinking. You know, in the book of Corinthians where it says, eye have not seen and ears have not heard the things that are entered into the heart of man. But then it goes on and says, but you have the mind of Christ, so that you could know the thoughts of God. Allow him to give you thoughts. And on the other hand, it says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments and imaginations that have held you back. Casting down strongholds. That's what happens when you imagine. Listen. Remember in Isaiah 55, it says food and drink. He says wine and milk. You know what wine does? It makes you happy, full of joy. You know what milk does? It makes you fat. No, listen. The fatness of the spirit breaks yokes. That's what he's talking about. That you be well fed with God's presence. That the garden of your imagination is a wealth of possibilities. Kelvin, could you go ahead? How are we doing on time, Pastor? I think we're ready to close here. Could you go ahead and play that song? This is a song by Shauna Wilson Carr. Shauna, you did that to me. Shauna Wilson Williams. And it says it's in the room. Listen, remember, this is what I want to tell you guys too. You remember when the woman with the issue of blood and the Jairus, the local synagogue leader, had to go and find Jesus? It's not so with us. He's right here. The anointing, the word, the anointing, the image, the picture, and the anointing reside in one place, in you. You don't have to, as far as you don't have to go anywhere. Now, doubting is letting the image go. We've heard it say, don't doubt in your heart. Well, you know, we say buzzwords sometimes, and you don't even know it. You know, faith is in two places, in your heart and in your mouth. But that sometimes that doesn't mean anything. You know, we say it sort of like a nursery rhyme. But that's what I've explained to you over the last two Sundays. Your mouth confirms what's not seen by everybody else that's in you. The invisible thing in you, God's word, becomes visible. That's why it says anything that's hidden, the lamp shouldn't be lit and put under a bed or hidden. It should be put on a lampstand. Anything that's hidden will soon be manifest. So imagine. Speak to the image. Speak to the dreams that God gives you. In the last days, God's going to pour out his spirit upon all flesh. And they're going to dream dreams and have visions and prophesy. And you know, prophecy is a vision from a seer. But if we just let it sit on the shelf, we probably got 25 prophecies in there been spoken over this church. Nobody's picking them up and imagining using them to war, to see them, to speak over them, to speak life into them. So let's do that, okay?